Leo, buy it. Buy the Pixel. Buy it.
No, Leo, you know you can't afford that Pixel.
I can't decide what to do.
Don't buy the Pixel.
You want it.
Oh, I do. I don't. Oh,
no, Leo.
I better watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by Carbonite. Automatically and continuously back up your computer files to the cloud whenever you're online for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code Before You Buy to get 2 bonus months with purchase.
Good job, everybody.
Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, the Twit Product Review Show, where we get a bunch of products, bring them in-house, take a look at them, let you know whether it's worth buying them. And we've got a great bunch of stuff to take a look at right now. Let's start with Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
Scavenger hunt maker.
Sure.
And host of NSFW on the Twit Network.
Absolutely.
Tell me, you mentioned this the other day, and I wanted to hear a little bit more about this. What is the scavenger hunt thing you do?
So I work for a company called The Go Game.
The Go Game?
Yeah. We're based out of the Mission here in San Francisco, and we fly all over the country and the world to put on scavenger hunts for anybody who wants to pay us to do it.
Mostly corporations.
That's where the big money is.
Team building,
yeah.
That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a cool job. Do you? It's like the Great Race or something. Do you hide stuff around?
Well, we hide people. You know, we have professional actors.
You hide people?
Yeah. We hire professional actors. They play characters. If you want to be a part of it, go head over to the Go Game, and you can get on a list. And when we come to your city, we look for local actors.
So I'm not looking for 3 pieces of yellow chalk. I'm looking for a person who says I do this or that.
Yeah. So part of it is all – we run it all on iPhones and Androids, Samsungs. And they get all of their clues on the phones, and there's location-based stuff where they have to figure out things that are in the city.
Are you ever an actor?
Every once in a while.
What kind of character would you play?
Well, when I was training, when I was going through the various interviews, I played a gangster and a few other things. Sometimes, every once in a while, when like all your actors flake on you, you kind of have to take on stuff. And one of the roles that we have is a superhero runner. So you have somebody dressed like Superman or Spider-Man, and they're running around the game zone. And when people come and find the various superheroes, they're told at the beginning they're looking for them. They're like, Spider-Man! You think that's it, until Spider-Man takes off down the street, and you have to hustle and grab them and take a picture with them and everything. So that's it.
Oh,
yeah,
I love it. What a great business. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's been around for over 10 years, and I've been with him for – I'm coming up on a year now that I've been here in California. But I'll tell you what. It's given me a lot of travel opportunities. That's given me a lot of great ways that I can test products for Before You Buy.
Well, today we've given you speakers for portable speakers. Now, this is a very crowded category. The Jambox,
yeah.
Logitech has a boombox. These are battery-powered speakers.
Yes.
The Bravens.
I got two. I don't know if it's Braven. Is it Braven or Braven?
Yeah.
Braven, okay. And like you said, there's a million different versions of these. Probably the 800-pound gorilla is notably the Jambox.
Yeah.
Problem is, Jambox is a little pricey. You know, it comes in at about $180 for the original model. These are lower-cost alternatives, and I found them to be fantastic. I really, really enjoy them.
It's about the size of the small Jambox and Bluetooth, right?
Bluetooth, yep.
So you pair it to your phone or your iPad or some other device, and it plays the music from it.
Plays the music, and you can do speakerphone calls.
Oh, cool.
So it has the noise canceling, so you can talk to somebody.
Well, get out your iPad. Let's hear some music on there, or whatever you got here.
Here we go.
This is your iPhone.
The iPhone,
okay.
It automatically,
you paired,
of course,
it already. And which one are we listening to, the white or the black, or are they the same?
I've never actually tried to do both of them at the same time.
No, I'm sure you can't.
But here, let's just
do the
try.
White one.
This
okay.
is the Braven 570.
Now, one thing people like with the Jambox, when you turn it on, it goes, bloo, 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 Jambox, and it's embarrassing. It talks to you.
Yes.
Does this talk to you?
This does not talk to
me. Okay, so that's one thing you're paying for.
Yes, absolutely. So here we go. Got a little Elton John.
That's coming out of that?
That's coming out of here.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Now, people at home can't really hear. Hand me the...
Yeah.
I'll put it up to... That's good sound. It's decent bass.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this sounds worse than the Jambox. It's probably not the same.
I mean, I'm not a major audiophile, so I mean, I'm sure there's people who are like, this is like crumbling tinfoil in my ears. But I think it's great. And for just leaving it around your house and having something where you can, you know, take your earbuds out and turn this on easily.
In a hotel room, that's where I use these. I'll put my audiobook on that, leave the phone, and I carry this to the bathroom while I'm taking a bath or while I'm lying in bed, and it comes around with me.
I totally agree. In fact, I have taken that with me on all the trips that I've gone on since I've had it. I've had it now for about 2 months, and I've just left it in my bag. It's super durable. It's been through TSA.
It's got a nice hard plastic case around it. How much battery life are you getting on it?
10 hours on that, which is equivalent to the Jambox.
Very similar. It charges via USB cable.
Yep.
Now, I see a weird thing. It's got a USB out. What is that for?
So, you can use that as an external battery for your phone.
Oh, that's something the Jambox doesn't
do. Does not have. So if you're in a bad spot, you can just plug your USB to whatever phone you have, and it can take the battery life off there. Now, obviously... If you're using it for a speaker, you want to keep as much battery life as possible so you're not charging it.
But in an emergency, if you've got this in your backpack and you need a little juice, it also, I see, has a regular phono jack, mini phono jack in, so you don't have to have Bluetooth pairing.
And I'll say this is the only limitation.
Which means it works with an iPod.
Yeah. They have limitations in terms of the volume. You know, there's only how loud they're going to get.
Let me see how loud I can get it. Turn it all the way
up. Hold on, wait. Let me give you another, maybe a louder song. Let's rock and roll
this joint.
Let's go ahead with maybe some...
Is this a sample of your favorite music we're about to hear?
It might be very revealing here.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead with Foo Fighters.
All right.
So if you want to try and turn up the volume as much as you can...
I'm turning it up as much as I can, but you stopped it.
Oh, I did. Look at that.
Would you stop it?
No, you're hitting the stop button.
Oh, it says plus.
No, there's one.
All right. I'm hitting it. All right, you do it.
Yeah. So now here, that's like the on and off button up there. Yeah.
I mean, it's not. What have we done with innocence? It's fine.
Yeah. So it's great for...
Put it on a table, you get a little resonance if you put it on a table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great for, like, if you're hanging out, you have some friends over, you just want to put music on.
It's perfect.
But it's the stress test that I did for it was, as part of the Go game, we have a big... All right. It does. All right, two things. Number one, it's got the finicky Bluetooth stuff. And this is a Bluetooth thing.
You can't get away from that. That's the way it is.
It's not a Braven thing. Way. I've been on the phone. I've turned it. I've unpaired it. And then all of a sudden, I'm talking to somebody.
And
I think they've hung up, and they're talking in the kitchen where I've left the Braven.
How is it as a speakerphone? Does it sound okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
There's a very good clarity of voice. The only problem, and this is where, again, this is outer limit stress testing because I was so in love with it.
Right.
I wanted to see whether... In a judging for the Go game where we have the 30 people who played the game in a small room, I was able to use it for the sound effects and the music that I played during that.
Right.
It wasn't quite able to carry over 30 people in a small room, but I mean, it was real close. And I feel like, cause you can attach two of these together through.
You can make them stereo.
You can make these stereo. So
that's a nice feature.
If you have two of them, you're going to be able to plug both of them into each other because they have an outside on one and in on the other.
And
so
then
you can have them both
right.
play through one Bluetooth connection.
All right. Bottom line is how much?
This is, I believe, 120.
Okay.
This is 160.
What's the difference? That's just a rubber case or?
Rubber case.
So the 570 is $120, comes in five colors, six colors.
This has 15 hours of battery life as opposed to 10, which is 5 hours more than the Jambox at the exact same price.
Oh. As the Jambox.
As the Jambox.
Oh, okay.
This is cheaper.
All right.
And I'll tell you what, I was really blown away. Like you said, for travel, you're on the road, you're in a hotel, you want to leave it around your apartment and just have that opportunity to super easy hit a button and make the things you're listening to louder. Great.
Real quickly, pros and cons.
Pros. Again, great battery life, cheaper than a Jambox, really durable. Cons, again, finicky Bluetooth, and it's not the loudest thing you'll ever hear.
Right.
There are other more expensive USB, or sorry, Bluetooth speakers that will get you a louder sound.
The Braven, the 570, and the 625S. 625S is $160. The 570 is $120. And you say it sounds like a buy.
Buy on both.
Thank you, Justin Robert Young. We'll see you on NSFW. You're going to do it here this week?
Tonight, yeah.
Tonight.
NSFW.
All right, a little later on this evening on This Week in Tech.tv. Let's take a look. Josh Windisch is one of our editors. He actually does the Tech Guy Show, does the website for the Tech Guy Show. And we decided we were going to give him something that doesn't sound like it could possibly do what it says it does. It's the Techie U Charger. The idea is it's supposed to speed up your USB charging 2 to 4 times. Josh?
Josh Windisch here for Before You Buy on Twit. And today I've got the high-speed USB charging adapter from Hitachi. It's called the U-Charger, and it claims to charge your device more than 2 to 4 times faster than conventional USB charging. It does this basically by asking your computer for more power through the USB port than it traditionally provides. And I know that sounds a bit risky, sounds kind of scary, but I can tell you from using it with plenty of computers, of course, here at the Twit Brick House, that was my test case, it did not break anything, so that was good. It is a very simple, straightforward device to use. It's got very simple instructions on the back of how to use it. One thing to pay attention to, though, is the LED mode selector. It has 3 different modes, 2 of them for charging different types of devices. And it tells you what mode it's in based on what color the LEDs are lit up as. So blue is for all devices except for Galaxy Tab, so essentially all iOS devices. Red is for all devices except the iPad, so essentially all Android devices. And when the LED is off, that's data transfer only, no charging. And that's because it can't fast charge and sync at the same time. Now, I know you're thinking, well, you can't fast charge and sync at the same time. Well, there's nothing good about that. That's just a con. Not so much. I'm looking at it from a different angle. How about all of those times you just want to charge your phone on someone else's computer, and you plug it in, and up pops iTunes and iPhoto, and it wants to erase your phone, or all this other stuff is happening, and all you want to do is just charge your phone. This thing will take care of that for you. You don't have to adjust anything in settings. You just use this, and you don't have to worry about it. So I know that's not really a feature, but it's kind of a hidden little bonus if you think of it that way. All right, so it's small, and it has LED lights that light up different colors when you press the button, and it looks cool, but does it actually work? And in my unscientific testing, it did. I tried charging my iPhone 5 on a standard PC. Actually, it was a Dell PC here in the office, and it charged about twice as fast using the U-Charger than it did with the standard USB cable. Now, that will differ. That will vary depending on what device you're charging, and they actually have a charging time comparison chart on the packaging here. It looks like the Galaxy Note 2, you get the most bang for your buck because it takes 7.5 hours to charge over a USB cable, but with the U-Charger, only 3 hours. One thing where you'll really notice the difference is when you're charging an iPad 3 or newer on a PC. Normally, you plug it in, it just says not charging. It is not going to work at all. But if you use the U-Charger, you will be able to charge the device on a typical PC. Now, one thing to note is if you're a Mac user, this thing will be useless because all modern Macs will output enough power to charge your device at the appropriate speed. So I actually tried it. This U-Charger made no difference charging off of my MacBook Pro. So on to the pros and cons. It's a small and simple design, which is great if you want to just put it in your pocket. It does increase charging speeds, but that varies depending on what device you're using. But typically, it's within the range they're saying. It didn't break my computer, so I was very happy about that. So I'm putting that in the pros section. And it prevents syncing while charging, because sometimes you don't want that to happen. Now, that last one I actually put into the cons section, too, for obvious reasons. Can't charge fast and sync data simultaneously. Doesn't work with USB hubs. Doesn't have any benefit with newer Macs. And it isn't quite as fast as wall charging, although it is pretty close. So buy, try, or don't buy on the Hitachi U-Charger. I'm going to give it a try because it really depends on your use case for this. If you've got a PC and you're really frustrated with how slow it takes to charge your devices off the USB port, this may be what you're looking for. Or if you're trying to charge an iPad off your PC, this will allow you to do that. On the other hand, if you've got a Mac, this will be absolutely useless to you. It won't do anything. It also isn't quite as good as just plugging into the wall and charging from there. So I'm going to say try. At just shy of $16 off of Satachi's website, it won't break the bank if you want to give it a shot. So that's the Satachi U-Charger, the high-speed USB adapter. For Before You Buy, I'm Josh Windisch.
Thank you, Josh Windisch. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. When we come back in just a bit, we've got two really interesting products, an Energy and a Nook. We got a priest and a young lady, an Energy and a Nook. It sounds like a joke. It's next. But first, we're going to talk about stamps.com. If you do pro mailing, if you're into the mailing stuff, if you're in a business where you send out invoices or flyers or bills, if you're, you know, if you sell something on Amazon or eBay or Etsy or PayPal, you got to know about stamps.com. This is a pro tip for anybody who does mailing of any kind. Stamps.com means you don't have to have a postage meter. You don't have to go to the post office. You don't have to rent anything or pay for special links. You're going to use your computer, your printer, just exactly the way they are, in conjunction with Stamps.com, to print postage on demand, whenever you need it, for any class of mail. They've even got a USB scale, so you always have exactly the right postage. Whether it's a letter, a package, even a postcard, Stamps.com will print the postage. And when you're printing it onto an envelope, not only does it print the postage, it can print your logo, the return address, it automatically. It'll get the address from your address book, your QuickBooks. If you're selling from a website, it'll take it from the website, so it fills in the stuff, too. It speeds up the process incredibly. It even sends an email out if you're sending priority or express mail with the tracking number and the information of the person who's getting it. It is super pro. You're going to love it, and I want you to try it. We've got a no-risk trial offer for you for 30 days. Visit stamps.com. Now, before you take that offer on the front page, which looks pretty darn good, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter in our promo code, Before You Buy, and that $80 bonus value turns into a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage to use over the first few months of your subscription. They're going to send you that digital scale. You just pay shipping and handling, just a few bucks on that, a $5 supply kit, and a four-week trial. You can cancel at any time. The scale's yours to keep, but I don't think you're going to want to. If you do any amount of mailing, Stamps.com will save you so much time. No more visits to the post office. You don't even have to bring the packages to the post office. They come and get them for you. Free. Schedule a pickup at any time. Stamps.com. Click the microphone, though, and use our offer code Before You Buy. Father Robert Ballister is here, our digital Jesuit who hosts our Enterprise Tech Show. Hey, Robert!
Good to see you.
Good to see you. This week at Enterprise Tech, every Monday, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. And you talk about all the enterprise stuff that goes way over my head. But today you got something that people seem to like, these portable chargers. Phones never have enough juice. This is called Energy.
It's one of those things. We all want more power for all the gadgets we carry. So why not carry around a big old brick?
All right, let's take a look at Father Robert Ballister's review. Robert?
I'm Father Robert Ballister, the digital Jesuit, host of TWiET, This Week in Enterprise Tech on the TWiT Network. And I'm taking a look at the Energizer XPOW Power XP18000.
The XP18000A is the largest of Energizer's Energy2Go line of external batteries. Measuring 4.3 inches by 2.9 inches by less than an inch thick and 1.1 pounds, the XP18000A packs a phenomenal 18 amp hours of power in a package that can power and charge up to three devices simultaneously. The front of the unit has four small blue LEDs that indicate the current charge level of the battery. Blinking lights indicate that the unit is being charged, and a small button below the lights doubles as a power indicator and the on button for the USB port. There are four ports on the side of the unit. One for 16 to 19 volt laptop power, one for 5 volt USB devices, a 19 volt charging plug, and a 9 to 12 volt media port. The flexibility of the system is in its tips. Each of the three power outputs has a cable and a color-coded system of interchangeable tips. Energizer includes 6 cell phone tips, 6 laptop tips, and 3 media tips. You simply choose the appropriate tip for your device, connect the tip to the appropriate port, and start powering your tech. Energizer also offers a Tips for Life program for those who need tips beyond those offered in the box. After registering on the Energizer website, you'll be able to order 2 additional tips each year for life, at no other cost than shipping. In our real-world rundown test, the XP18000A performed exceptionally well. It added between 2.5 to 3.5 hours of runtime to my Acer S7 Ultrabook. That's between 60 to 80% above the rated life of the laptop battery, depending on which of the features were activated and how bright I left the screen. Results using 12 and 5 volt devices were even more impressive. When connected to my D-Link DIR 650 wireless 3G router, the XB18000A powered a mobile hotspot for more than 16 hours. When I used it to power a Favi Pico B1 LCD projector, I was able to coax 10 hours of movie time before the unit shut down. When I used the unit to power my Samsung Galaxy Nexus, well, I powered the phone for an entire week, with power left to spare. I tested the XB18000A for 3 months, during which time it became an integral part of my mobile kit. In those 3 months, it proved invaluable, not only in its ability to extend the runtime of my gear, but also in reducing the number of chargers and batteries that I had to pack. All told, the 2-pound XB18000A kit replaced 7 pounds of gear. The Energizer Energy To Go XB18000A is available now. You can find it for about $140.
I like the XP18000. I mean, I really like the XP18000. It has become the foundational item for my mobile travel kit. It goes with me everywhere, and that's because there are several pros. The first has to be the flexibility of the design. It can charge my laptop. It can charge my hotspot. It can charge my USB devices. Pretty much everything I carry can be charged off of one single power pack. I love that. The second thing has to be just the amount of raw power that this thing carries. 18 amp hours means that I can extend the life of everything from my Acer S7 to my Samsung Galaxy smartphone to, again, that hotspot that I have to occasionally give power to. It's nice and big, and that's always a good thing when you're dealing with power. The third thing is a bit more geeky, and that's the chemistry that Energizer chose for their lithium-ion polymer battery. It uses a type of chemistry that doesn't need to be refreshed. For up to a year, this thing is going to hold its charge, which means that in a month or two, if I haven't used this power pack and I need to take it on the go, I can be, well, assured that there's going to be power in there for me to use. I don't have to worry about it being dead. The last thing, and this is actually a really big pro, is the Tips for Life program. I've been using Energizer XP products for, well, a good 5 years now, and I have a collection of tips from all the different products that I've purchased. This is a great thing for a gadgeteer because it means you're going to have the tips and the cables that you need for pretty much every gadget you have. And also, because you can get 2 new tips every year, it means that as you add to your collection, you can get those free tips and keep the power flowing. Again, a great, great thing for a gadgeteer. Now, I racked my head trying to come up with a list of cons, and I really couldn't. And it's not just because it's a really well-designed product. It's because, well, the only thing you can say negative about this product is that it maybe is a little bit heavy and maybe is a little bit large, but not really. I mean, this is the kind of product that you throw into your bag. It's the kind of product that you put into your carry-on, and, well, it just powers everything in your inventory. Furthermore, because it's going to be replacing a lot of different adapters, it's a net decrease in the amount of gear that you have to carry with you. And again, that's just a good thing. So, try, buy, or don't buy? Well, I'd say that the Energizer XB18000 is a unreserved buy. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire, the Digital Jesuit. This is the Energizer XB18000, and this has been Before You Buy.
I think Robert did buy that. That's yours, isn't it, Robert?
I actually did buy this one. This is the one I carry around with me.
Now, they make smaller ones. I have a smaller Energy To Go, so you buy the size that you need. But I love it that it saved you poundage. I mean, people might look at that and say, well, I'm not going to carry around a 2-pound battery. But you don't have to bring those extra chargers. That saves you a lot of poundage.
Exactly, yeah. The kit itself is about 2 pounds, if you include the charger and the battery itself and all the tips. But for that 2 pounds, I got rid of about 7 to 9 pounds worth of other chargers, right, because it's all off of one system.
Now, one negative is that Apple licenses their charging tips. And in my experience in the past, I haven't been able to get charging tips for Mac and iOS devices. Is that different?
We've got a bypass for that because Apple still is really jealous, really protective about their tips. But if you get the Mac car charger, there actually is a tip that will plug into the battery, that's, and then you awesome. Can run the car charger off the Energizer.
That is hysterical. So there is a workaround for that.
There is a workaround.
Father Robert Ballasaire. Yeah, those are awesome devices. The Energy To Go from Energizer. And, of course, he has the giant size charging everything. Thank you, Robert. Take care. By the way, should I buy the Pixel or not?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, ha! Huh? He changed his tune since he's been on my show.
Well, no, that was Angel Robert.
All right, stay tuned. I have my review of the Google Pixel coming up in just a bit. Shannon Morris produces our show. We call her Snubs. That's her Twitter handle and how everybody's known her for years. She's a host of ThreatWire on the tech feed on YouTube. Good. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
And you are becoming our queen of e-readers. You've got another one now.
I love e-readers.
This is the Nook.
This is more of a tablet, though. You can do all sorts of stuff on this thing.
So this is Barnes & Noble's response to the Kindle Fire.
Yes, it is. I actually saw a lot of comparisons of this online of the Barnes & Noble Nook HD, which is this one, and the Kindle Fire as well. So this one comes in about four different versions. You can get the nice white background, which is a little bit dirty because it's a reviewer's product. Mm-hmm. And there's also a gray version.
That's the gray.
Well, yeah, it's kind of gray.
Is that supposed to be white?
Maybe it is. Well, there's a darker gray version.
This is light gray. Okay. Or it really is dirty.
And dark gray. All right. And they come in 8 gigs or 16 gigs. Okay. The 8 gigs
is
$199.
This is kind of rubberized.
It is. You
has
know
an
what's
elegant
nice about
look,
this
the rounded
is
corners.
When you put your fingers back here,
yeah.
It's really easy to hold it and read things on it. You can hold it with one hand because it's only 11 ounces.
Right.
Or just with two hands. And it's got this thick bezel. The reason for that is so you can put your thumbs here and you don't accidentally, you know, turn
touch
pages.
The screen.
Yeah. Or anything like that.
I have to say, the screen is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
I don't know if you
it's
can see
IPS
it at home,
display.
But boy,
so
yeah,
you can
it's
see
really
it when you
pretty.
Turn it around.
Yeah,
and it's full HD. It's actually 1440 by 900 resolution, so it's very, very high res. It does play videos as well. Those videos come out at 720p, though, so those are not full 1080p.
Now, is this also a hacked version of Android, like the Kindle Fire?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
This is Ice Cream Sandwich, surprisingly, not Jelly Bean.
Okay.
So it's a little
older
bit
version.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you can't access Google Play, obviously. You have to go through the Barnes & Noble shop,
right.
Which gives you all the apps that are available. But they do have a wide range. They have Netflix in here. There's Evernote. So there's a lot of popular
I saw Angry Birds.
Ones.
I saw
yes,
Fruit
Angry
Ninja.
Birds. There's even the new the Piggies game and so on.
Oh, I love that game.
There's a lot of
Words with Friends.
Yep. So, yeah, all the normal apps that you would generally find. And then you can also access their movies, their comics and books, their magazines. You can even purchase catalogs on it, all sorts of stuff.
Does Barnes & Noble have the same kind of variety of content as Amazon does?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's over 3 million books that you can buy through this, and you can read them all on here very easily. One thing I noticed as well, if I go in here, I can read Walking Dead. And the comic
Ooh,
books
it's the comic
are
book.
Beautiful
So
on
it's
here.
Grayscale, which is nice. It's not
it
because
is.
This is not a monochrome monitor. This is a color monitor. You get some beautiful kind of
right,
shading.
Right, you do. And
yeah.
I'll just click up here to the settings and change the brightness
feels
a little
pretty
bit
fast,
so you can see
too.
It a little bit better.
Did
it
you
is.
Feel
it's
like it was
very
snappy?
Quick. It's a dual-core processor.
Yeah.
I like that you can zoom in on things,
oh,
and when you
great.
Flip the page, they have this nice little accent. 3D
You're actually seeing the page,
page
through the back of the other
yeah,
page. Yeah,
it's very neat. It's just a nice little quality that they added to it. Being, you know, a bookstore, they thought about those kind of things when they made this. The battery lasts about 10 hours if you're fully reading a bunch of books, a little bit less if you're watching movies on it. And if I go into my recently watched... I can pull up Midnight in Paris, and you can see that the video looks very nice. You can rent things as well through Barnes & Noble. The rentals are 24 hours.
You know, the sound is good.
Sound quality is great. Yeah, it looks really nice at 720p.
I would say, despite the fact that Amazon made a big deal about their Dolby speakers on the Kindle Fire, this actually sounds better than the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, it's really clear and crisp, which was my favorite part about that. It's not really muffled or anything like that.
Right.
And when people talk on it and things like that, you could definitely listen to like a video podcast on here really easily and very nicely. So I like that.
Nice for somebody who does those. That's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great option to think about. It also has the rotating screen, if it'll work.
All of these, you know, I was doing it before.
There we go.
Yeah,
there you go.
All of these are a little slow on rotation.
Yeah, they're a little bit slow, but yeah, it has the rotating screen, so you can watch it both ways. Unfortunately, the Kobo that I checked out last week, that one did not rotate on that ebook reader. And you'll notice up here, my name is Philip.
Why?
So you can change to a bunch of different accounts. You can have
I
up
see.
To six different
you
accounts.
You have multiple profiles on
it. Yeah, when I spoke to
That's
Barnes
great.
& Noble about
I like that.
They said that this would be a great tablet for a family, because not only can you have up to 6 different accounts on it, and God, I hope you don't have that many kids.
But you could have kid profiles.
You could have kid profiles, and you can also protect them. So if you go into edit profiles.
So you can lock down a profile.
You can lock them down.
That's great.
So they can't access your own stuff. Like if Philip had a bunch of movies on here that maybe Jade shouldn't be watching.
Right.
She won't have access to those. And then he can also lock her out from the shop if he wanted to.
She gets her own wallpaper, her own set of applications. I like that.
You can customize
it. I think that's a nice feature.
And if you go to the lock screen. There.
That's a hardware lock?
Yeah, it's a little hardware lock. And then I can choose whoever I want to.
You drag the head into the lock to unlock
it as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's just a simple little feature that I found, which was really nice and customizable and could be really useful for a family. It kind of reminds me of back in the 90s when you had a personal home computer at home, and it was you had a bunch of different accounts.
I remember
on it for
those days.
Your, for every family member. Each person had something different on it.
Well, something the iPad still hasn't done, but I'm glad to see this does do that. That's great.
Yeah, me too. So overall, I really liked it. There were a couple of things I didn't like. For example, it didn't have a it has a proprietary charger.
That's
down
not
there.
A standard USB microcharger. It looks almost like the Apple 30 pin. It's not though.
Yeah, and then they do have a little speaker here. Although you'll notice
microphone.
Microphone.
Yeah.
This is only for if you want to like read a book and record it for a child.
Oh.
So you can do that through this. Unfortunately,
but it doesn't have
though,
Siri or anything
you'll
like
notice.
That.
Yeah, no Siri, and there's also no webcam up here on the front or the back.
Got it.
So it's missing that little feature, and that's something that
they
should have
video.
Added. No Skype video, unfortunately. Yeah. I also noticed they have this micro SD card.
Yeah.
They have a micro SD card in here for me to use.
Uh-huh.
You can do up to 64 gigs.
So you can add memory.
Yeah, you can add memory up to, including the 16 gigs that they have on here as well. So my pros and cons of this little guy are the high-res screen. I really like the high-res.
Really
it looks great.
Good.
It's beautiful. A huge selection of books. You can find pretty much everything you want to at Barnes & Noble, obviously. And it's really good for families. I like that they have a bunch of different accounts on here to use. It's very family-friendly. And then the cons, of course, it is tied off to the Barnes & Noble app store, so you can't access Google Play, unfortunately, and there is no camera up there. But all in all, I think it's very well made. I don't think it would be great for everyone, especially not people who are tied into Google Play and tied into the Android marketplace and want those type of things. But I would definitely give it a try, especially for families. I also wanted to mention, though, I did find out that this is being updated a lot. There are new apps being made for it. We did hear a lot about them saying maybe we're not going to continue doing hardware, but I don't know. There might be some new hardware. We'll see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how much?
This one itself is $199, and there's also a $229 version.
All right. So everything's kind of in this ballpark now.
Yeah.
These Nexus, the Kindle Fire,
it's
the
Nook.
Yeah,
it's decently priced.
You're not getting a real Android device. You're getting a customized Android device, but I think that's not a bad thing for people who want a media, a content device. This is very
and
simple.
And if you have like a Barnes & Noble membership already.
You're in there.
You're kind of, this is what you want to buy.
Yeah. Very nice. Thank you. Shannon Morse, the host of Tech Threat Wire on
ThreatWire and Hack5.
The Tech Feed. And are you on Hack5 all the time?
Oh, yeah. Every week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why don't I plug that? I knew you used to be on, so you're still on.
Yeah, I'm still on Hack5
and
Hack Tip. I'm
all of that stuff. She's a busy lady and produces this show as well, and you do a great job. You can email Shannon, by the way. Before You Buy's email is byb@twit.tv. If you've got a suggestion for something you'd like us to review, take a look at, we'd love to hear from you. byb@twit.tv. You've also set up a Google Plus group, community.
We do, yeah. We have a community. If you go to the Twit community, you can check out the Before You Buy one.
So there's a little segment there.
There is,
designed for people who want to discuss what we've said, criticize it, critique it, give us pats on the back. And we also put all of our show reviews up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. So another place you can go if you want to see individual reviews of any of these products. Coming up, Iaz. I gave this one to Iaz. I tried to review it, and I thought, this is more for Iaz Akhtar. He's going to review the Popcorn Hour. And I'm going to tell you what I think of Google's $1,500 Chromebook in just a second. But first, let's talk a little bit about backing up your data, something you don't have to do with a Chromebook, but if you've got a Mac or a PC, you should be doing. And if you're going to do it, I want you to do it right. Automatic, continuous, and online. Those are the big three. Automatic, because, well, you're never going to remember to back up. You might say, oh, I'll do it every Sunday, and come 5 weeks, you forgot to do it, and then your hard drive dies, and you, oh, why me? Why did I forget to back up? It's also continuous. Whenever you're online, it's backing up your data. That means if you change a file, the files are instantly backed up. If you add a picture, they're instantly backed up. And I can tell you right now, there's almost undoubtedly something on your hard drive right now that you just don't want to lose. Financial records, tax season is here. Pictures, your wedding or baby pictures. Those things are precious. Make sure they're backed up. And do it right with Carbonite. The best part is all of this, off-site, continuous, automatic backup to the cloud, encrypted as it goes, further encrypted if you want, on the cloud. Only you hold the key. $59 a year for everything on a single computer. $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. And when you use our special offer, we're going to even give you 2 months free. They also have plans for small businesses, external drives, all one low flat fee. Check it out at carbonite.com. You don't need a credit card if you want to do their two-week trial. All you need to know is our offer code before you buy. That's Carbonite, CARBONITE.com. Use the offer code before you buy. That 2 weeks would probably be enough to get your first backup done. And then from then on, it's very quick and easy. Doesn't take up any CPU cycles, very little bandwidth to back up continually. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code before you buy. And when you do buy, after your trial, you'll get two additional months, 14 months at the price of 12. You got to back it up to get it back. So do it right with Carbonite. So I tried playing with the popcorn hour because at first I thought it was kind of like a Roku or an Apple TV, a streamer device. And as I played with it, I realized, no, this is for me to play back my content, stream it within my network. And I thought, who better to review it than TNT host and the host of Know How, Iyaz Akhtar. Here he is with a look at the Popcorn Hour A400.
I'm Iyaz Akhtar with Twit, and today I've got the Popcorn Hour A400. Now, there's a lot of set-top boxes out there competing for your limited HDMI inputs, and this is another one. If we take a look at this, this is a solid piece of hardware. This is a metal casing, and there's a big warning on the top of this saying this device uses passive cooling. Don't block this because this case is effectively dissipating heat. So that's something to be aware of. Don't stack things on top of this. It's got a lot of functionality you're not going to see on other devices. You've got a hard drive slot here. So if you want to put in a hard drive, you could have content right on this local box. USB port on the side, also USB port on the back. We got Ethernet, a USB 3.0 slave here, which means I believe you can attach this as a hard drive on your PC and just move content directly onto the box. Analog output, so we've got some component if you want to do video, HDMI output, eSATA on the back too. So you've got lots of different variations of inputs on this, and two outputs for audio. You can do optical and coaxial, and there's that little power port. Otherwise, other than it looking super solid, let's actually see how it does. When you start up the device, you see this interface, and I've got to say, this is something from the 1990s. While it does run smooth and there's a lot of power under that metal case, it looks like the folks at Popcorn Hour didn't do a lot of work when it came to the UI. So if we go into the apps market, this is what a lot of people think this device does. They think it's an internet streamer. It's not really built for that. When we go into the applications, we go into their app store, I go into the all section, and you'll see that there's about 66 applications at the time of this recording. If you notice, there's no Netflix, there's no Hulu Plus, and there's no Amazon. So if you want to get free video content, I don't believe these YouTube ones are official. You can get CNET, Blip, you can get some internet content on this, but that's not this device's bread and butter at all. What this thing is really for is for network video streaming and also for local streaming. So I'm going to go into networked media because for some reason, networked media is separated out from local media. I don't know why. I want all my video in the same location. As you can see, for the most part, this device is really snappy when I'm trying to do different things. And what I love to do when I test out these things is use giant MKV rips of my Blu-rays to see exactly how will this device perform. Because when you give something a 30 gigabyte file, it's either going to sink or swim. And we're going to go into The Dark Knight Rises, which is over 30 gigabytes in size. I'm going to stream this over my network. Now, right now, you're seeing a bit of a delay before it starts up because the hard drive that contains this file was spinning up I just heard it in my Media Center PC. And as you can see, it plays very smoothly. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to show you that this device can handle fast-forwarding a 30-gigabyte file without even a hiccup. Let's see what Bane is up to, because he's so cool. One of the things that Popcorn Hour did include is a volume control. So if you want to control the volume, you can do it with this device. Now, it's not impacting your amplifier's volume, nor do they give you a universal remote. It's actually just controlling the volume on the box, which is actually somewhat convenient if you want to use the remote. So as you can see, this is a one-to-one copy of a Blu-ray, so it looks fantastic. This device is doing a great job showing off the video. On top of that, we have this great title option where I can go in and change the audio on the fly. If I want to listen to the Spanish version right now, it doesn't show that, but you'll see that there. It does take a second or two to change that. Subtitles can be changed with a dedicated button on the remote control. I go into tracks. I want to see the French language subtitle. There we go. Now we've got some French language. One of the most interesting things I've seen about this device is the fact that it can play Windows Media Center television recordings without any codecs, as far as I know. Because the only device I know that can do that are Windows Media Center extenders. So if you've recorded something like, I don't know what this is. Let's pick Bob's Burgers. I like Bob's Burgers. Lindependent woman. I'm going to ask my device to play a file format that's not supported by a lot of other devices. What I've noticed is with these particular files, it does take the A400 a little longer to show you the video, but it does show you the video. And if you're watching this, this might be hard to see on the edited version, but there are some artifacts where there's motion in this. So while it does support Windows Media Center recordings, it's not 100% when it comes to playback. Local media also played just as well as the stuff on the network. Right now I've attached a USB key, and let's see, what do I want to see? There's no way I got this from a non-reputable source. Let's see if it plays Xvid. As far as I know, it plays Xvid, DivX, and it plays pretty much anything I threw at it. Have you ever got Archer? I'm really glad it didn't show you a scene that would be deemed inappropriate. So I'll cycle through the interface one more time. There's not a whole lot here. The setup wizard can help you with your network settings, your languages, pretty basic things here. I'm going to back out of this, go back to the home screen. Got our setup. Network media. Apps market. Local media, setup wizard. You can see, you don't exactly have a ton of options. So why you have to cycle through this, I don't really know. It's not like they couldn't fit it all on one screen. But this is what this box does. $250. And one of the cool things about it is it can play those MKVs just fine, but so can my $35 Raspberry Pi. So if that's a big deal to you and you're a nerd, you probably want to go with something like a Raspberry Pi or any other device that can run XBMC. Now, the Popcorn Hour A400 comes with this backlit remote. The keys are a bit stiff and everything, but I don't know who still bothers to use these kinds of things. I immediately try to put things into my universal remote. But the buttons are good. The placement is intelligent, I guess. It's not the most ergonomic thing in the world, but it'll do the job. I've seen much worse remotes out there, so I don't have really any complaints when it comes to this device. On the pros, this device can handle so many different kinds of file formats. Handled DivX fine, handled MKVs, handled streaming very well. It just was very responsive, very powerful for what it is. And that's pretty much all the pros I have for it, because on the cons, it's really expensive. $250 at the manufacturer's site. I tried to find it on Amazon. It cost over $300. And as it is a super nerdy device, the interface is really lacking compared to the other devices out there. If this was priced at $99, I could say easily, give it a try. So, is it a try, buy, or don't buy? I'm going to have to say it's a don't buy, because there's a lot of other devices that can do a better job at a lower price. I'm Isaac Actor with Twit, and this was the Popcorn Hour A400 of Magnificence.
You can watch IAS on Know How every Thursday afternoon, and of course every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC for TNT Tech News Today. I should mention, Most of the reviews on Amazon for this Popcorn Hour device were negative and complained about bugs and problems with the firmware, bugs we didn't have and didn't see. So I'm not sure if we were just lucky or if Popcorn Hour has fixed a lot of those problems that people talked about on Amazon.com. It wasn't so much that it was problematic, it was just expensive, a little difficult to use, and there are better devices doing similar things. Now my turn, and this is a challenging review for me to do because in so many ways I wanted to like this device. This is the Chromebook Pixel from Google, and it got a lot of attention when Google announced it last month. Originally Wi-Fi only at $12.99. They are now offering a $14.99 version that includes, I think that's the price, that includes, let me make sure, yeah, $14.49, that includes LTE on this. Of course, you'll have to pay extra if you want to use much LTE. It's Verizon LTE wireless, and you only get 100 megabytes a month for free. You do get, if you pay $50, 5 gigabytes a month. And that was the one I wanted to look at because I love the idea of having always-on connectivity. And because the Chromebook Pixel runs Chrome OS, it really is designed to be always online. There's only 64 gigabytes of storage in this LTE version, 32 gigabytes in the Wi-Fi-only version. It's not designed to store a lot of data. It does have offline Gmail and offline editing of files and so forth, but really it's intended primarily to use Google Drive on the cloud as your storage. It's a window into your Google account, your Google Apps, your Google Drive account. Also, I should point out that it works pretty well in Wi-Fi. So if you are in a Wi-Fi only situation and you don't want to pay the extra amount for the LTE, you can use it that way. And because it has some offline features, yeah, you could use it to perhaps go through your email on an airplane. But really, it's designed to be always online. Google made a big point about, given the price, how well made this is. And of course, it's a unibody aluminum construction, very nice metal, very little torque in it, very solid. And particularly they were proud of this display, which is very high resolution, touch too, which is kind of neat. So it's a little odd. You might notice if you're looking at it on video, it's a 3:2 aspect ratio, which is pretty unusual these days. Google says it's better that way for web pages. I think it has to do more with the limited hardware capabilities of the machine. I'll talk about it in a little bit. It is 2560 by 1700. That's 239 pixels per inch, a few more pixels per inch than a MacBook Retina, but it is a slightly smaller screen than the MacBook Retina. This one has an i5 in it. Well, actually, they all do. You don't have any choice. Google really doesn't give you a lot of different SKUs. You get an i5 processor in here. You get 4 gigs of RAM. The battery life is woefully short. 4 hours, in my experience. Google claims 5 hours with active use. It does have Wi-Fi A, B, G, and N, Bluetooth 3. It, oddly enough, only USB 3. The connectors on here are pretty straightforward. There's a mini display port, which we had problems with in our setup. We weren't able to get it to do an extended screen. I understand that's a bug with Chrome OS, that will probably be fixed. It has a couple of USB 2.0 ports on here. The most important spec you might want to note is that it is Google HD 4000 graphics. And in my opinion, that's kind of a low-end graphic card for a display that's pushing as many pixels as it is. And as a result, I find that some pages, like this page from The Verge, feel a little sluggish, a little hesitancy on this. And I showed this to Jeff Jarvis, who also has a Pixel. He says, mine doesn't, and he made a video to show that it didn't. Well, I think it does. I don't think this is a bad defect with this particular model. I think it's what you'd expect with HD 4000 graphics, and particularly the demanding graphics heavy displays. Even Google's own Play Store doesn't scroll quite as smoothly and fluidly as I'd like, either with the touch screen or the arrow keys or the trackpad. There is a question about the operating system as well. Now, it is Chrome OS, and you have to understand Chrome OS is essentially just a Chrome. You have applications on here, but they are all Chrome extensions. So what looks like a user interface really is just another way to click on Chrome extensions. There's quite a few of these. Here's the New York Times, Plants vs. Zombies. There's video editors. There's audio editors. But all of them are going to be working with data online. So if you have large video files, you'll have to upload them first. Large images, you'll have to upload them first. And it's going to be a little bit sluggish editing that kind of stuff. I also should point out that one of the things that makes this perhaps a deal is that with the $12.99 or the $14.49 price, you get a terabyte of Google Drive storage for the first 3 years. If you paid for that individually right now on Google, that'd be about $1,800. So I guess if you wanted to buy a terabyte of storage on Google Drive, maybe you should buy this instead. It'll save yourself a little bit of money. Chrome OS is a very limited OS. There's certain advantages to it. It's certainly more secure. I find that the people who really like Chrome OS tend to be IT administrators, school administrators, people who want to give computers to employees or students, but want them to be locked down so that they're secure and so that people can't be, playing video games on here. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you feel like you need to have limitations on your computer. If that's the case, Chrome OS may be great for you. And there are certainly plenty of people who say, oh, I love Chrome OS. It's all I want a computer to be. My question is, should you pay what is a fairly steep price for a computer and not get a full computer? There are Chrome OS devices for $200, $250 that are pretty good. They're not this beautiful hardware. What Google says is, well, we wanted to show you that Chrome OS can run on beautiful systems, too. The people who use Chrome OS can also have very nicely made systems. I'd agree with them. This is a very nicely made system. You've done a nice job, Google. I just feel like that's an awful lot of money to pay. You can get a very credible laptop computer running a full operating system for about the same price. So I'm not sure exactly why somebody should sign up to get less for more. It doesn't quite make a lot of sense to me. If all you want is Chrome, I guess you could use Chrome. People say, well, a full operating system is too complicated for me. All right, that's fine if you want that. What I do think Google should do, and maybe they will, is make a laptop that's not $1,449, that's not $250, maybe a $600 Chromebook that is a little bit nicer to use than the netbook quality cheap Chromebooks, but not quite as expensive as the Chromebook Pixel. On the pro side, gorgeous screen. You can't deny it. Very high resolution. It has a decent keyboard, not great. And when you turn, excellent sound, by the way. The speakers are ported, I think, on the back. I can never find out where they came from. Sometimes the speakers are loud enough that you can actually rattle the keyboard. It sounds very good. Keyboard is a little bit mushy. Maybe not something you'd want to type on all the time. I have some trouble with that. Very nice trackpad. Basically the hardware is the pro. It's an excellent piece of hardware. The con, I find that the graphics card in here, the motherboard graphics from Intel, the HD 4000, probably is not enough to push all the pixels that this screen is offering. So sometimes it can be a little sluggish to use the screen. Not as responsive as I'd perhaps like it. Not as responsive as, in fact, touch screens on other computers. The biggest con, though, is the price. You're not getting a whole lot for $1,449. You're not getting a full operating system. Maybe that's something you'd want. I just can't recommend this for most people. There will be some people for whom the Pixel is the perfect computer. Jeff Jarvis loves it because all he wants is a Chromebook capabilities. But he's also had to hack it quite a bit, put Linux on it and so forth to make it do some of the things he wants. And it seems to me if what you really want is a Linux box, you can get one for a lot less money. Low on storage, weak graphics card, beautiful display, decent keyboard, excellent trackpad, very good sound, an operating system that is intentionally quite limited. It's hard to recommend the Google Chromebook Pixel. I went back and forth on whether it's a buy or not buy or a try. I'm going to have to say don't buy, and I'll tell you why. I had one on order until I played with this for a few days, and then I had to cancel the order. I thought, this is way too much money to pay for way too little computer. I do not buy. Sorry. Hey, thanks for joining us. Boy, this was a jam-packed show. Thanks to Justin Robert Young, to Josh Windisch, Father Robert Ballasaire, Shannon Morse, Ayaz Akhtar for their reviews. Thanks, Shannon, for your great job producing this show. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday around about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's see, that would be 2200 UTC. If you want to watch live, we love it if you do, but you don't have to. We always have on-demand versions, both audio and video, available after the fact on our website, twit.tv/BYB, on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy, and, of course, wherever you can find podcasts like iTunes and the Zoom store. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. Take care.